Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, look who's across the table from me. I told you this was going to happen. She didn't believe it, but I told her the last time she was on the show. She is now the Commander-in-Chief of USCL in Lancaster, Dr. Courtney Catledge. And I did tell you so, didn't I? I did.
You did.
Oh,
you
did. Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And this became official in May?
In May. So there was a search process last spring. And then after that, I was awarded the dean position, and it started the middle of May. So we're excited about it.
Good for you. So we always start the program off by trying to reintroduce our guest to all the people out there who are new to the community, which keeps growing and growing just like Lancaster County is. So tell everybody a little bit about your background.
All right. Well, I am originally from Tennessee, Franklin, Tennessee.
Franklin, Tennessee. I forgot that.
Yes, Franklin, Tennessee. It's a small town that's not so small anymore.
For those of us who graduated from the University of the South in Sewanee, Tennessee, we're very familiar with Franklin.
Yeah, Franklin. It's a wonderful place. So I graduated from Franklin High School, and I moved to South Carolina to go to college. I received an undergraduate degree in nursing from Clemson University.
Aha.
Then that's where I met my husband, who happens to be from Lancaster. And so I'm a nurse. I could go anywhere and get a job, even back then, 28 years ago. So in any case, so then I moved to Lancaster. I worked at the hospital for a while, transitioned to public health, and then went to Carolina, USC, Columbia. That is, for graduate school, and then I did a doctorate down there where I became a nurse practitioner.
Good for you.
After that, I started working in higher ed at Upstate for a couple years, and then was called back to USC Lancaster, where we started a BSN program in collaboration with USC Columbia. So I've done that. This is starting my 19th year at USC Lancaster. So nursing is my background, is my passion. It's really where I've spent most of my time. About a year and a half ago, I was called up to be interim dean when our permanent dean at the time, Dr. Walt Collins, took on a new position in Columbia through Palmetto College.
Yep.
So I said yes to that. And so this January, it'll be 2 years. I've been kind of in this position, but officially as the permanent dean starting this past May.
So I'm curious, somebody who has gone and put as much time as you have into becoming a nurse practitioner,
mm-hmm.
which is no small feat, I can tell you. Do you miss it, not being out there, you know, putting people back together? And
you know, what I always tell people who go into nursing especially is it's not one thing. It can be so many things. And so I just, you know, I also believe in following your calling. And somehow, I would never have guessed this, but my calling ended up being nursing education. And so, you know, to be able to follow that calling, and now I can inspire others, equip others, and you know, help to guide them through their you know, journey into nursing and healthcare, into higher ed as well. I just feel like that's where I was called to do. Now, do I love caring for people? Of course I do, but I just think this was my call, so this is where I am.
All right, now one more hypothetical question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's say you get fired tomorrow.
Ooh.
Ooh. Do you have, I mean, can you go right back in and start doing what you did as a nurse, or do you have to go back and do some refresher stuff?
So officially, I have a licensure with the state of South Carolina.
Right.
And I am nationally certified as a nurse practitioner.
Right.
And that is good until 2030. And my license is good. You do it every 2 years. So I'm still licensed and certified to be able to do that. Now, would that be a little bit of a transition depending on the role that I decided to fulfill? Sure. I've done volunteer nurse practitioner work for several years prior to COVID in a nonprofit, so I think I could pick that up immediately. But, you know, I think healthcare is ever-changing.
Oh, yeah.
Ever-changing. So it would require a little bit of refresher, but I definitely don't think that would be out of the question if I decided to do that.
So you have to keep your license current.
Yes. Well, I choose to.
Right. It's like a POTUS license. You got to do so much every...
Right. Yeah, continuing education.
You do all that.
And
yeah.
Registration.
Good for you.
I actually serve on a committee with the State Board of Nursing in, you know, out of Columbia for the state of South Carolina. And it's a practice committee, so it really does keep me kind of fresh on changes and roles and responsibilities and scopes of practice. So I think that's also helpful for me to just stay on board with that.
You need to get them to let that count towards your continuing ed hours.
That's a good idea.
Okay, so I ask all these questions about nursing because you have a very active, robust nursing program.
We do.
At USCL. Tell me about that.
So we started this program in collaboration with Tenet, which is Piedmont Medical Center here in Rock Hill, USC Columbia, and USC Lancaster. 2007 was our first really year to start educating students at USC Lancaster for a BSN program. 2010 was our first graduating class. So we've graduated students for 15 years, and there's been 296 officially graduate with their BSN in our local area, with 88% of them staying in our surrounding counties. So that really was the driving force, is that locally there was no place for students to be able to get a BSN education. There's been ADN and LPN education for years, which is wonderful, and they provided for our hospitals for a long time, but BSN education was really the way to go. And so that's the gap that we filled, and we continue to fill that. We had 21 graduate this past May and 21 pass boards the first time, so 100% pass on the NCLEX, which is really our goal, so we can just navigate them right into the workforce as quickly as possible.
All right, now we all know that we have a nationwide nursing shortage.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what I want to hear you say is we have more applicants than we can handle in our program.
So overall, for the entire USC system, we absolutely do.
Wow, that's great.
Can still do, I think, a better job of continuing to promote what we offer. You know, the idea that you can have small class sizes, stay close to home for a very cost-effective way to get a BSN education is wonderful. A lot of people still feel like they have to go to the flagship and the larger institutions, but they really don't. So we still are working to educate people. And I personally have noticed that COVID, as much as we don't like to talk about it anymore, COVID did play a little bit of a part in challenging our students to be successful in the sciences and math especially.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're still catching up on that a little bit, because we believe in our collaborative program that it's a competitive entry into their clinical courses. So we believe that it's super important to have quality, strong applicants that meet the eligibility requirements so that they can be strong nurses on the other side of it. And we don't do wait lists and things like that.
Okay, so you're graduating about 21 every year?
20 to 30 is our goal.
20 to 30 every year.
Mm-hmm.
And you got plenty of applicants.
Mm-hmm. We have a good number of applicants, especially this year. I think we have between 80 and 90 freshmen that have entered. So we'll see how they matriculate through the program.
So you can handle that many?
We can handle up to 32 in each cohort each year. At this point.
Explain what a cohort. I don't know what that means.
A cohort is our junior level and our senior level. Those are the ones that do clinical.
Okay. Anyway. It's off and running and doing very well.
It is. And I will say that was my role, was overseeing that, the director of that program. And so I left that role. So we had to find somebody to fulfill that. And we had an interim, which happened to be a graduate of our program who was also a faculty member that was working for us. So then we did a call, a search, and she happened to apply along with others, but she happened to apply, and so she was selected to move forward. So I'm excited to say Dr. Lee Pate is our new director of our BSN Collaborative Program, and I am super confident of her leadership and how she's going to be able to move that program forward.
So these hospitals that helped you get this thing started, mm-hmm. are they still partnering with you on that, or was that a kind of seed capital to get it started?
So they originally there was some funding that came to play with those hospitals, but we continue to partner with them. Piedmont Medical Center, now Fort Mill and Rock Hill, they are clinical sites for our students, and they have nurse externship programs that equip our students to be able to get continuing and additional clinical experience during the summer and during their off hours. So that's great. We also partner with MUSC in Lancaster now and MUSC in Chester now, as well as the Encompass Rehabilitation Hospital.
Good.
So we continue to try to expand our reach when it comes to our partners, because we know they all need nurses. And so we want to give experiences for them to at all these different places so that our students hopefully will transition into wanting to work there full time.
And as you point out, 88% of your graduates have decided to stay here locally. Locally being what, York, Chester, Lancaster County?
Some will go as far as Hartsville, but that's still kind of, or Kershaw, so that some of them are kind of from that area, so that's still in the surrounding counties.
Well, I could spend the whole program talking to you about nursing.
Me too.
However, we need to move on, because you are the presidente of the entire University of South Carolina at Lancaster campus.
All right.
Talk to me about your student enrollments this year. How are you doing?
So we are doing really good. Last I looked, we were at 2488. We were a little bit over 25 last year, but we haven't got to freeze. Freeze is until October, so we still have a little bit of time. And we do offer second 8-week classes, so we'll have people join us second 8 weeks. And that's not everyone offers second 8-week classes, so we think that's a great way to catch up on some people that didn't get all their application and stuff in for the first 8 weeks. So we're excited about that. We're confident that we'll be probably right about the same level as last year, with about over 1,600 of them full time.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you take a look at basically 2,500 students,
mm-hmm.
What percentage of those students are doing the majority of their coursework online versus coming to classes?
You know, I've been asking that question myself, and we're actually collecting data on that, so I don't know the exact number. I do know I have an assistant dean right now who's interim, and I have really pushed him, because we agree, we're on the same page, that we believe, especially for our students, to equip them properly, they need to have some face-to-face and shouldn't do all of it online. Now, do we offer an online associate degree?
Yeah, I do.
We do, but we still believe that there's value in that face-to-face, and our faculty want face-to-face too. So I don't have that percentage for you, but I will say we're trying to pull back some from as much online, and really equip people in that face-to-face, because think about the things you learn when you're face-to-face versus online. Think about having to deal with difficult challenges with peers in the classroom, having to communicate in a different way with faculty, and then the possibility of engagement on campus. All of those things, if you're strictly online and doing everything from home, could be missed, and we know those are tools that they can use as they move forward with their careers.
Well, in fact, has not the data shown that one of the adverse impacts of COVID was when we sent all the students home to learn off of a TV screen, they fell way, way, way behind. And as you pointed out earlier, you're playing catch up right now, trying to get kids back up to their normals where they should be in the sciences.
It's true.
So why, you know, I'm not an educator, don't understand, but why don't they at least limit, say, okay, if you're going to be a college student from USC, we're going to let you take, I don't know, 15% of your hours online, and the other 85% have got to be in the classroom, because we don't want you being a dum-dum when you leave.
Policing that could be the challenge.
I don't believe it.
You know, and, you know, we're in the business of meeting people where they are. And, you know, there's lots of people that do have a preference for online. But like I said, I have always promoted the fact that I want them to be able to, handle anything. So face-to-face, online, and hybrid, and that way they're equipped for their next steps.
So I guess something is better than nothing.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
You are very political on that. You'd be a good politician. How do you answer that? See?
Probably not.
Probably not. Okay. So the school is doing well. You're full up. And you say about 1,600 of the 2,500 are there every day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every day at USCL involves more than classroom stuff. You've got a bunch of outside activities.
We do. We do. And we're constantly looking at ways to expand that. So we recently hired a student life coordinator to work under our director so that we can expand our student organizations, our student activities on campus, and just to meet the students where they are so they do can have those experiences. So that's one big thing that we have going for us. Our athletics, we do have athletics at USC Lancaster.
And we have?
We have men's soccer, women's soccer, women's volleyball, and baseball. So we have about 126 athletes. Now, this is the unique stat. Of those 126, 36 are international athletes.
Get out of here. Really?
It's true, yeah. So we have athletes from Kenya and Honduras and Germany and England, Canada, and this year, first ever, Iceland.
Iceland.
We have two students.
Land of volcanoes.
Iceland. So people hear about us and we recruit, and it really creates a neat environment on our campus.
Oh, I
learn something each year from these students, and they love being at USC Lancaster.
So tell me, if somebody has sat down in some type of a focus group of these international students and say, why us? What is it?
Well, our coaches are our main recruiters, of course.
Right.
And so they make sure they create a realistic expectation about who we are and where they're coming.
Right.
Also, the academic piece of it, to assure they understand that they're student athletes, not athletes who happen to sign up to be a student. So that's important. They really like it here, though. I mean, I've had lots of conversations with them. Our girls, our women's soccer team went to Utah recently, and they came back, and I was like, how was Utah? And they were like, oh, we're so glad to be back in South Carolina. I was like, that's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
So last year, our women's athletics were particularly strong. They were both the Region 10 volleyball winners and the Region 10 soccer winners, so that's really good. And we're hopeful that all of our teams will be really good this year.
Now, you left out the most important thing.
What's that?
About athletics. It has something to do with lights?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, sometimes things take time, and we're trying to be patient. And our athletes and our departments in athletics are patient as well. But we incrementally have made some improvements specifically to our soccer facilities. So we have some new training area on the field. We got our fields look great. Our spectator areas have been improved. And this year we have lights.
So
the students are super excited. We had our first men's soccer game under the lights last week. Women's soccer tonight, 7 p.m. under the lights. And it's just a lot of fun. More people than I've ever seen out there. Were there last week, maybe because it was evening, people had the, more capacity to be able to come out there, but it was just a lot of fun. It was
good.
A lot of fun. And so we're trying to get more community surrounding our athletics.
Won't take long. You got lights, camera, action. There we
That's
go.
That's right.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. If you can read the white letters, you need to chime in at the count of three, because that tells everybody what we're doing here. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
You got it. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
At Piedmont Medical Center, we have the expertise to treat the conditions that cause back pain, and we're focused on delivering compassionate care to help you live life pain-free. In fact, Piedmont Medical Center is designated a Blue Distinction Center for Spine Surgery by Blue Cross Blue Shield for our commitment to quality care and comprehensive spine surgery services. And by the way, Piedmont offers robotic spine surgery, an innovative surgical option that assists the spine surgeon and care team throughout the surgery. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the friendly service, and I like that the meat's fresh and the food tastes good. They slice the meat right there in front of you.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Courtney Catledge is with us today. She is the Dean of USC Lancaster, a job she took on back in the springtime in May when Walter Collins went on to bigger and better things with the big mothership down there in Columbia, is that right?
Palmetto College, actually.
Palmetto College. Yep. Tell everybody what Palmetto College is, quickly.
So Palmetto College is an arm of USC Columbia that really is oversees the regional campuses and our online programming. So we offer, through Palmetto College, about 30-plus online degree completion programs.
Wow, that many.
Yeah, it's true.
And I'm going to do a little sidebar here. Again, for people who are new to this area, USC in Columbia, where the mothership is, they've got a whole tens of thousands of students mm-hmm. there. But we have, what, 8 satellite campuses?
We have 4.
4?
4 regional campuses, what we're called, and then we have comprehensive campuses. The comprehensives are 4-year campuses, such as Upstate, Beaufort, Aiken.
Right.
You know, so
that's where I got my 8 from. Okay.
Yep, yep.
Satellite campuses and comprehensive campuses represent roughly how many more thousands of students?
We have almost 8,000 in the regional campuses. So with USC Union, Sumter, Saukahatchee, Lancaster, and then our online cohort, that's about 8,000. I don't know the numbers for Upstate, Aiken, and Beaufort. They kind of are in their own little world.
Anyway, it's a bunch.
Yeah, bunch of students. But, you know, and the great thing about that is we're meeting people where they are. You know, it's important for people to be able to get an education no matter where you're located in South Carolina. Back in the day, rural South Carolina, there was not the opportunity to be able to get a bachelor's level and beyond education. But now there is. So we're happy about that.
Well, kudos to USC for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Eons ago. All right. So You mentioned to me before we started the show that you all have gotten some kind of recognition.
We have. Oh. So this is the 9th year in a row that USC Lancaster has been recognized as the number 1 2-year college in South Carolina. You know, that's important to us because, first of all, you know, recognition helps to bring value to what we're doing.
Right.
But when you're looking at how they're rating us, and I think that's when you look at niche and how they look at things, they're looking at where we're located. They're looking at our safety. They're looking at our academics and our faculty, our student life. So they really take a comprehensive look at what we're offering. And for us to be selected 9 years straight, we're very proud of that.
So who does this rating?
It's by niche. It's a national organization.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. 9 years in a row. That's pretty darn good.
9 years in a row. Right.
So what's the secret sauce to keeping this 9 years in a row?
You know, I was looking the other day, and they were talking about all the reviews. And the reviews are student-driven. So they reach out to students. And so I think just having close connections with our students must be part of the secret sauce, at least to just have them feel heard, have them feel like they're having their needs met. All of that is very, very important. And, of course, community involvement is important as well.
So. Must be because they have a new president. Don't you think that's it?
Could be. Could be. But this is the ninth year in a row, and not my ninth year.
So. All right. What are we missing here that we want to make sure people know about as far as USCL and what you're offering that's beyond everything we just talked about?
So I will say I would like to just bring some recognition to some things that are happening that we're celebrating this year.
Okay.
So this year we are celebrating 50 years of our library, so Medford Library. And that came to be because of a community member that supported the idea of a library, and their family continues to support that.
Right.
So we're celebrating 50 years of Medford Library. Recently we actually had an addition to the library where we built a patio out off the left side of the library, and that was continued support, and so that's promoting more community engagement. We're also celebrating 20 years of Native American studies, which is very unique to USC Lancaster. We value our Native American culture. I mean, we're right here in the Catawba area,
mm-hmm.
and so we've been studying, and we've had faculty dedicated to continuing to draw attention to the Native American culture for 20 years. We do have a Native American Studies Center in downtown Lancaster on Main Street. Now, I think that was opened in 2012, so we're not celebrating 20 years there yet, but it's a great place to go for people across the lifespan. We even have a children's exhibit there that is you know, clearly kid-friendly. We do lunch and learns there one Friday a month, and they have markets and things that happen there. It's a really, really cool space in that downtown area.
So who teaches the Native American studies? Is it somebody from the Catawba tribe?
We have faculty that have done extensive research, and then we have partnerships with the Catawba Nation, and we have actually some employees that are of descendants.
Seems to me I did a straight talk with one of them here a while back, and I cannot remember the person's name.
I'm not sure, but it's a wonderful gem that is just really unique to USC Lancaster, and we are thankful to be able to kind of continue to draw positive attention to that culture.
All right, so what's on the boards? What's coming up?
Well, there's one more thing we're celebrating, I'd like to say. And that is 10 years of a food pantry on our campus. And I bring attention to this to say 10 years ago, no one had a food pantry. And our campus saw a need. And when we really know our students, and when we see a need, we figure out how to make it happen. And so we're celebrating that because after that, now every campus has a food pantry. So we really were a leader in this. And it's really about understanding where our students are and what their needs are and meeting those needs. And this is not in a budgetary item. This is completely community funded. So that's why we are so thankful each and every day that community members surround us and organizations surround us. So sometimes we'll get grants, but I mean, we have an organization, an individual really, who's a part of an organization, but she brings us fresh fruit every week. And so that's just speaks to how lucky we are. Now, some other little events that are coming up, we do value the arts. So last year, I'm not sure if I mentioned it on this show, but we have a new Lancaster Performing Arts series.
Right.
We have our first ever music, tenure track music faculty, and he was really passionate about bringing the arts to everyone for free.
Right.
So he wrote grants. Last year we had an opera in Lancaster, so that was wonderful.
And you got a beautiful auditorium down there.
It's a nice auditorium.
Very nice one, yeah.
It is. And so this year we have two events coming up, Sunday, September 28th. We have from the Yale School of Music.
Ooh, Yale.
Vima Dian Duo. It's a violinist and a percussionist, so that should be wonderful. I'll leave you the flyer.
And we have run out of time.
Oh.
How about that?
Wow.
The good doctor has run us out of time. Dr. Courtney Catledge, our guest today on our Straight Talk program, Dean of USCL, and you can find out more about her, no problem, anywhere across America. Okay. Just go online. She's there. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2. Sherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for for conservative investors. Okay, what do we do here at Substation 2? We just hear everybody hugs everybody, kisses everybody. What the hell? All right, now we have brought with us an esteemed member of our House of Representatives, Randy Ligon, And as we do it, at the count of three, tell everybody, one, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.